2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome on and back to KSL's Unrivaled. This is Scott Mitchell and he is Alex Carey.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many things that, I just want to talk about. I want to talk about Zach Wilson. I want to talk about this football game with the Arizona Cardinals and the Dallas Cowboys. It reminds me, this game, of a game I played with played in 1995, and it was against the Arizona Cardinals. And this famous guy named Barry Sanders, who was on our team,
yeah,
inside the 20. Oh my goodness, that was a good hit on Andy Dalton right there. inside the 20, fumbled three times as we're going into score, and we lost by 1 point on a fourth down and like goal from about the 19
yard
line.
Now, was Barry Sanders, was he a fumbler in
no.
his career?
That was no, he was very, very efficient with
yeah. Well,
and it was just Ezekiel so uncharacteristic. Elliott, yeah. And so
he's fumbled twice tonight.
Right.
They've both been
same situations.
They've both been inside their own red zone, and the Cardinals have scored touchdowns on both of those. So the Cardinals are up 14-0 right now in the Dallas Cowboys. Joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he is the host of Cougar Sports Saturday. He is Mitch Harper. Mitch, what's going on this evening, man?
Oh, nothing too much, guys. Got back from Houston yesterday and getting ready for another week of some BYU football talk. Should be fun.
I was just going to ask about the BYU fans at the stadium before we get into the actual football discussion part of it, because there were so many. Every time they'd look around, there was a lot of blue there, and I had friends who were at the game, and they were like, look how many BYU fans are at this thing. Did you kind of get that sense, or was there or did Houston show up too? I feel like BYU fans are able to travel, but you know, with only 10,000 fans in the stadium, what was it like inside the stadium with some actual fans there?
Yeah, it was cool. It was half and half, I think, BYU and Houston. In the pregame, the roars that BYU fans gave to the team when they were coming off the field, it sounded like a home game in Provo. It really did. And I think Houston fans were taken aback just how many BYU fans were there. And I don't think they realized how many BYU fans were in the state of Texas, you know. So and BYU fans traveled from the southeast and all parts of that region to go to that game. So it was pretty cool to see all those Cougar fans show up and support their team. And I think it did add a special atmosphere to the game and just really was a fun night all around, from the quality of play and then have those fans there. It felt like a normal football game for once.
You know, half and half is a little bit rich for my cereal. I'm more of a 2% guy, so it's good that was there.
Tasty, look, though, if you do it every
no,
once
it's
in a while.
Really tasty. Oh, my goodness. It's just like heaven. It looked like, watching the game, that Houston is athletic. You know, got a lot of athletes, got a lot of speed. Were they probably one of the tougher teams, maybe if not the toughest team that BYU faced this year?
Yeah, I think that they're going to have more talent than Boise State. I think that was probably the most athletes BYU will face, the best athletes BYU will face this year. I just think that Boise State's challenging from the fact that they're going to have a program that just kind of is known for winning, and whereas Dana Holgorsen and that team are still trying to discover themselves. And if they weren't an undisciplined football team, that being Houston, I think they would have maybe gave BYU a better test late in the fourth quarter, because they were just kind of a streaky team. When the momentum was on their side, they were riding high. But when it went away from them, they were kind of pointing fingers at one another, headbutting guys, spitting on players. It was kind of a mess for Houston. So, but I think that was a really good team, and I think they'll win some ball games this year. And it was a great win for BYU. I mean, you could make the case that it was maybe the biggest win of Kalani's tenure. I mean, he's had big wins against name brand programs, but now this win sets up BYU to now be in New Year's Six conversation. I mean, everything is in front of BYU from a national perspective, and that's why that win was so big.
Mitch, as you saw things kind of shake out, and when it got to 26-14, the BYU trailed, and there was just real weird lull in the game. It was that sequence in the third quarter when Houston had a 3rd and 30, and then Harper gets thrown out for the targeting penalty, but nothing being said at all about the headbutting on that same sequence. And it was just a strange, like, and then there were like two or three reviews in a row, and it just was, there was no rhythm to this thing. What really turned the tides for BYU in that game against Houston? Because some say that it was the onside kick, but the thing I didn't like about the onside kick is they didn't do anything on offense. They ended up just, shooting themselves in the foot and didn't end up scoring on it. Where did Zach Wilson turn the tides in that game?
Well, I think it was that one little stretch for the BYU's defense getting the 3-and-out, and then Houston shanks the punt, and BYU's offense takes over in Houston territory. I think that right there was the moment where, okay, short field to work with, we're going to score, meaning, you know, because Zach Wilson's looking at that and saying, we're going to score here. I think that was where the momentum really changed, and BYU took off from there. That's the moment I look at. But, man, Zach Wilson was so good in that game, and the way he's kind of managing these games right now for BYU, he's just, you know, flawless. I mean, you haven't seen since Ty Detmer four consecutive games without an interception thrown by a BYU quarterback. He's just taking care of the football. And
I'm surprised that even Ty Detmer did that. Scott, that was like one of the things that Ty Detmer is known for. Is like, yeah, he threw 7 touchdowns in the game, but he also threw 4 picks.
Hey, if you're not throwing interceptions, you're not throwing. So, look, I think it was more than managing the game for Zach Wilson. And I understand your comment, and it's very true. You know, he's making really good decisions. But to me, it's about maturity. And,
sure,
you know, Zach Wilson has really grown up. But he's also healthy, you know, it just because no one talked about it a year ago, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense, kind of some of the wackiness and some of his inconsistent play, until you go, oh, he was injured. And yeah, I know how hard it is to play when you're injured. So it's very impressive to see how there are players that like playing, right? And they're out there playing. But then there are players who like to be really good when they're out there playing. And you can see that he's doing everything he possibly can to prepare himself to be in the best position to be really good when he plays each and every week. And I said this when he first started playing a few years ago. There are certain players, when you have a really good quarterback, you can be in a lot of football games that maybe the team's better than you. Or maybe in this situation where BYU was down kind of later in the game, changing that momentum is not an easy thing to do, and a really mature, a really good quarterback can do that and overcome what I think. Because it really felt like Houston had this game in the bag. They just seemed like, other than the first part of the game, boy, they were really dominating BYU. And for BYU to shift the momentum and really do it at the quarterback position speaks volumes of where Zach Wilson is today.
Yeah, he definitely does. And I mean, and that's what you find success in college football. Two things, in my opinion: quality quarterback play and strength of schedule. And BYU strength of schedule is obviously pretty weak this year. It wasn't their fault, but you pair those two things, and BYU is now having the best year they've had in maybe decades. It's been impressive to see. And the throws that Wilson is making, too. I mean, that ball to Dax Milne on 3rd and 15, that was one heck of a pass that he made. I just was floored to think that this is the same personnel that we saw last year lose to the likes of San Diego State only produced and only produced 3 points.
Right.
And now they're doing what they're doing now. It's pretty impressive turnaround what's going on
in
Provo.
Our troll poll that we have up tonight, Mitch, and you love this one because it's about BYU. What is the percentage chance of BYU making the college football playoff? Obviously, the college football playoff talk and the Heisman watch list with Zach Wilson are two things that, one, we would only have joked about before the year, but now we kind of sort of half-heartedly kind of joke about it, but also with a little bit of like kind of hope in our, you know, in our voice. The question is, between the college football playoff and the Heisman discussion with Zach Wilson, which one is the most absurd?
I think the playoff's probably the more absurd, but I mean, there's an argument to be made though for the playoff, just because two of the Power Five leagues really have no respect right now, that being the Big 12 and the Pac-12. So there's got to be a fourth team, and maybe there's a second team that emerges in the SEC, but I don't know if there's much of an interest to have three matchups between Alabama and Georgia in one season, because I think those two teams are going to have a rematch in the SEC title. I mean, there's a case. I mean, this year's so crazy, and if teams maybe have some more postponements and throw a wrench in the schedule, maybe BYU is standing at the end at 10-0, and they're like, you know what, this team navigated all the pandemic, they pieced together a schedule, and they got a great quarterback. Maybe they'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
In 1984, a similar type of thing happened. It really did. It was like all these really good teams in the country kept losing, and BYU just kept winning, and they kept winning, and they kept winning, and they just moved right up the polls, and they did everything that the system said you had to do to play for a national championship. And this is kind of the same year, and what you're saying, Mitch, is there's some truth to what you're saying. That, you know, it wouldn't shock me, with as crazy as things have been, that by the time this gets over, BYU is in the very thick of the discussion for the college football playoff.
All right. Well, you can listen to Mitch, of course, every morning on Cougar Tracks, every afternoon on Cougar Tracks. Download the podcast as well. And Cougar Sports Saturday, he and Matt Biamonte do a great job. And, of course, there hasn't been much more attention that BYU's gotten over the past few years than right now. So give those guys a listen. Mitch, thanks for being with us this evening. We'll take a quick break here. News, traffic, and weather. So much more to go. We will talk about that discussion on the national level about the college football playoff. What if and why not is the question. 57500, why shouldn't BYU be in that college football playoff discussion if they're 10-0 at the end of all this? Stay with us right here on KSL's Unrivaled.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.